You're listening to Full Time. My name's Matt Jones. And let's turn our attention to what Everton have been doing this summer and what is still to come, because I'm joined by Adam Partington from Grand Old Team. Good afternoon.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Great to have you back on. Now, first things first, Everton yet to make many moves in the transfer market, or any moves in the transfer market, in their first team under Marco Silva. The transfer window only closes in a 3 weeks' time, I think it is. Not long until that window slams shut. And given the World Cup has only just finished, the time frame for bringing players in is so short. Are you getting worried?
No, I'm not. I see people getting worried online. But I think the priority for the club at the moment is obviously to shift potentially some of the deadwood, for want of a better word to describe footballers. But no, some of the squad needs moving on. I think we're starting to see that as well. And also, I think it's a bit of a tough window, this, because it's shorter, and because of the World Cup, and because of the change, obviously, at Everton at the moment. I think it was always going to be quite tough. I do actually think that we will probably see a couple of incomings before the window slams shut, but I'm not overly concerned at the moment, and I kind of sympathise with the club the position is in, I suppose I'm trying to say.
Do you think, though, Premier League clubs have shot themselves in the foot a little bit here by giving themselves such a short window given the World Cup, because this ain't happening across Europe?
Maybe. I suppose that depends how you look at it. Historically, we've suffered a little bit with the window being open into the season. I mean, the obvious case, Matt, is when you think back to the Julian Lescott situation when he decided that he wanted to leave, and then we rolled him out against Arsenal and got hammered, I think 7-1 it was that day, and he kind of walked around because he didn't want to be there. So that's kind of like the negative side of the window being open. So I think in the long run, it's beneficial to the health of the league, and probably beneficial to us that, you know, that it is a shorter window because it doesn't create into the season. But yeah, I suppose, as I said, you know, it's just a tough one at the moment because you've got the World Cup, or you've had the World Cup, and obviously the state of change as well at Everton has been quite drastic with obviously the introduction of Brands and Silva coming on board. So it's always going to be tough, you know, and also I think these windows around major international tournaments, whether it be the World Cup or the European Championships, are always a little bit more tough as well, because you kind of get players' stock rising just for their performances at the World Cup, you know what I mean, or the European Championship. So it's just all that rolled in together. It makes it slightly harder, I think, to bring lads in. But yeah, as I said, you know, I'm not getting too worried at the moment, Matt.
Certainly is a tough window for Everton because, as you've mentioned, all those reasons. There are aspects of their team that need fixing, though. For you, what is the key area? If you could sign one player, one position, what would that position be?
Do you know what? That's a tough one, because I think that there are numerous areas within the squad that we probably need to work on. I think we drastically need support or a replacement. Well, I'm going to say actually a replacement for Leighton Baines. So, you know, we really do need another fullback, a left fullback. I think we know potentially need some more attacking options, shall we say. So that's a priority. It's very hard for me, sorry to sound like a politician, Matt, but it's very hard for me to kind of like put my finger on one area and say that's what we need above everything else. You know, it's tough. We need another centre-half as well. So, you know, there's quite a few areas that Everton need to concentrate on, I think.
And that just shows how hard a job Marco Silva's got.
Yeah, well, it does, exactly. It does. See, this is another thing as well, as Everton spent a lot of money last summer. I see people pointing to West Ham and saying, "Oh, look what these guys are doing." I mean, that actually reminds me a little bit of Everton last summer. And, you know, here's the thing, right? Last summer we went out, and by this point, you know, we'd spent quite a bit of cash. We'd brought in a couple of household names, the likes of Wayne Rooney and some decent prospects. And look how the season unfolded. So just going out and doing business in the summer doesn't necessarily actually set you up for a good season. I know that might sound a little bit silly, but we had summers under Moyes where we didn't do a lot of activity and everything was pretty settled by the time the season came around, by that example I've given to you about, you know, the Julian Lescott situation. And then that actually benefited us because we didn't make all these drastic changes. So I think there's, again, you know, we need to there's areas of the squad that we need to trim down as well, and we need to ensure that we get the best out of some of the players that we signed last season. So you know, it is tough for Marco Silva, definitely.
You're listening to Radio City Talk. It's full time. Matt Jones here, and I'm joined by Adam Partington from Grand Old Team. To talk all things Everton. So let's get on to some of the players they have been linked with. And today, the speculation surrounds Gonzalo Martinez from River Plate and David Lopez from Espanyol. Fill me in, because I have to say, I don't know much about them.
Well, I could do that, like that football hipster thing, and like, you know, pretend I watch Eurosport all the time and I see all these players, but I don't. But I am kind of vaguely aware of both of these lads. You know, again, I don't watch La Liga too much, but Lopez is a centre-half. He's at Espanyol at the moment. The only thing that concerns me with this one, Matt, is the fact that he's 28 and he's in his prime at the moment. So you could look at that two ways. Obviously, you could say, well, he's going to come in and he's in that stage of his career where, you know, he probably can hit the ground running. But on the flip side to that, depending on how much we pay for him at 28, you probably not going to get too much of a return on that. That depresses me, because I'm 28 now and I would be considered as in my peak within a footballing context, which is horrific, because I remember when I moved out of the bracket of I would have been considered like a young player. That was scary enough, and now I think, God, I see players that are my age and they're being spoken about as they're in their prime. But I suppose he is. So we do need a centre half, so maybe he is a consideration there. The thing is, looking at his career, you know, he's bobbed around a little bit. He was at Napoli for a season as well. But I think, you know, if Marco Silva needs somebody who can come in and maybe just plug straight in, then he might be that guy. And the other fella is Martinez, and he's at River Plate at the moment. I think he's a left-footed player, but he can play across the front three. He's 25, and I think maybe he's a good option, given the fact that we need a little bit more in that area of the field. And you know, he can maybe, the fact that he sounds like he's quite a versatile player, quite tricky, and you know, he might be what we need. But again, you know, I'm not going to come on here and pretend that I'm overly familiar with both of those lads. I only know what I know of the various stuff that I've read online and that I've seen, like most supporters. But I think there are pros and cons to both of those players.
You probably know somewhat more about Yerry Mina then, who Everton are also being linked with. And he'd be a really exciting signing if they managed to push that over the line from Barcelona. Only 23 years old, Colombian international, impressed during the World Cup, as we all saw and know. And if Everton were to get him in, that could help, one, take Michael Keane to the next level, because his form clearly suffered last year, and maybe just help bring down the average age of the team as well.
Yeah, well, that's the concern with Lopez, isn't it? As I've already mentioned, the fact that he's considered as he's a player in his prime at the moment. But yeah, so obviously, you know, I'd like everybody else. I saw a bit of Mina in the World Cup, obviously, when he played England as well, and he got that goal late on, and I think was quite impressive against England. So he'd be one, I think, that we'd all get quite excited about. I did see something today, and a lad I work with, as an Evertonian, mentioned it to me, that he's been advised to stay clear of us. I don't know how much we can read into that, but I think he would be a player that the type of calibre that we would sign, and that would actually get everybody excited, you know. And I think he'd be a bit of a fan's favourite at Goodison as well. So I hope that one comes off.
Yeah, I've got those quotes in front of me, actually. They're from Carlos Valderrama, who says, "The Premier League is attractive, but for me the Champions League is the most prestigious." So he's urging him to go to Galatasaray, who are apparently also interested. "I don't think Yerry should join a mid-table team like Everton. Faith Tareem has a good record of developing players. If it were me, I would pick Galatasaray." I'm not having that. Everton aren't a mid-table team, are they?
Well, no, not historically, of course not. But I suppose if he's looking at the recent finishes for the club, then he might have a point, I suppose. But I'd say he's a bit of an idiot, and we should probably ignore him. but that's obviously the Evertonian within me coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. Just finally then, pre-season tomorrow, I think there's a game against Bury after that 22 win at the weekend as well. Obviously, we can't read too much into that one. But it's a time of year where we do start to learn a few things about how Marco Silva's going to play this team, who's going to be in favour, tactics and stuff. And that's an interesting point to look at things.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I always take pre-season with a bit of a pinch of salt, to be honest. I mean, the result at the weekend was humorous. I don't know if you managed to catch much of that, or the 10,000 goals that Everton scored in that game. But no, you know, it's more to get the lads looking sharp. And do you know what? The only thing that I would say about the game on Saturday is that although we were playing a terrible standard in terms of opposition, I think me and my mate sort of probably put up a better go of things.
Well, that's because you're in your prime.
That's true. That is true. But I think we did kind of look sharp, Matt. So that was good. And the little clips that I've seen from that training camp as well. So it'll be interesting to see how sharp again we look tomorrow. But it, you know, it's one of them, isn't it? You know, you kind of all these games in pre-season, you can't really read too much into them. I suppose he's testing things out and he's seeing what might work and what might not work. So I think maybe, you know, as you get towards the back end of pre-season, then you can start to see how the side's shaping, and how, you know, you can maybe look for them to start the Premier League and say he's probably going to do this, as he's been persisting with, you know, this formula throughout pre-season. But at the moment, it's just a case of getting the lads fit enough.
Absolutely. Adam, great to speak to you as always, and we'll catch up again soon.
Yeah, all the best. Speak to you soon.
That's Adam Partington from Grand Old Team.